right, together looking at, what is the title of our message? Now I want you to turn to a neighbor and just say the title again. Selfish. Who, me? All right, all right, all right. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin 5 and Ryan 3. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson, and she said, "Boys, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." Hallelujah. We always want somebody else to be Jesus. Amen. But Jesus is calling each of us to rise up and be Jesus in the lives of each other. Most of us have experienced selfishness. That is, we know what it is like to be around someone who is selfish. All right. Well, you might be selfish if you have a genuinely difficult time letting go of the remote control to the TV. Letting someone else have it, you may struggle with selfishness. You may struggle with selfishness if you pick up the last piece of chicken and take a bite out of it, hold it up and say, "Does anybody want this?" You may have a struggle with selfishness. You may struggle with selfishness if you know all the words to, "And I did it my way." Anybody here know all the words to that song? Okay, that's good. That's good, Billy. You may struggle with selfishness if you have a lifetime subscription to Self Magazine. You might have a struggle with selfishness if your favorite picture in your home is the mirror. You love running over there to that picture. Oh, you might struggle with selfishness if you're on a date and you say, "Oh, enough talk about me. Let's talk about what you think of me." You might struggle with selfishness if you're a baby, if you're a toddler, if you're a preteen, if you're a teenager, or if you are an adult, male or female. Hallelujah. Amen. Most likely you have experienced selfishness. And most of us are pretty good saints at knowing what selfishness looks like, especially when it's somebody else who is doing it. But I want you to wrap this out with me, and it is, love is not selfish. Hey, hey, love is not selfish. Hey, love is, I can't hear you. Hey, everybody, love is not, one more time now, love is not selfish. Ooh, yeah. Hey, Billy, you come up next time. Amen. He had all the parts going on there. Thank you, brother. Amen. Love is not selfish. Amen. And saints, when we begin to live our lives for God, amen, that selfish lifestyle is replaced by a lifestyle of servanthood. Amen and amen. But before we really get into selfishness today, let's join our hearts in prayer. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, we praise you today. And we thank you for your holy word that is so practical and so relevant, and it helps us in every area of our life. Lord, we want to be lovers, not self-centered. So we ask that you would do your transforming work as we actively listen to the preaching of your holy word. Oh, Holy Spirit, we want to be filled with you and your love, your joy, your peace. So make it, Lord, make it so in each of our lives is our prayer today. And we ask it in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. And all God's expectant saints join together to say, amen and amen. Amen. How many folks here are Star Wars fans? We got, okay, all right, right in here, very good. Just a few, okay. What's wrong with the rest of y'all? I don't know. But saints, in the 6-part movie episode entitled Star Wars, George Lucas led us to a place, a galaxy far, far away, amen, where stars and wars were going on, where battles between good and evil were taking place. And the main leader of the evil side was Darth Vader. And he was so mean. And if you just disappointed him, he would tell you, "You have failed me for the last time." And most likely he would just choke you. You'd just go like this and he would be gone. Or he'd lift you up in the air and toss you somewhere. But there were battles between good and evil going on. And saints, these movie episodes were so exciting. And you know, come to think of it, it wouldn't in any way diminish God's majesty if God actually has created other beings on other planets and other solar systems. Because guess what? Our God is able. Our God is able to do anything. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, hallelujah. And that's such an exciting thought to me. But saints, we don't have to go anywhere else to find Star Wars happening. We don't have to go to another solar system. We don't have to go to another planet. We don't have to go to another country. We don't have to go to another county. Because right here, we don't even have to leave this room, saints. Because Star Wars are going on right now within our very own lives. Right here. Can somebody today say amen? Amen. Yes, there is a battle that is raging within that will determine who will be the star of our lives. And it will either be us or it will be Jesus. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, it'll either be us or it'll be Jesus." Us or Jesus. Us or Jesus. Us or Jesus. Saints, it is a war that really will reveal who is the master of our universe. Who is the master of our universe? Will we delude ourselves into thinking, "Whoo, we so important, we so powerful, we all that in a bag of chips, yeah." Or will we choose to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord? Choosing to delude ourselves into thinking that we're so important, we're so powerful. When we choose that way of delusion, we come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. Crazy ideas like, if I like it, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If I had it a while ago, it's mine. If my name is on it in the refrigerator, it's mine. If I say it's mine, it's mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're having fun with it, it's mine. If you lay it down, it's mine. You get up from that chair, it's mine. But if it's broken, it's yours. It's yours if it ain't working. Saints, that's the nature of a baby. And it's also the nature of what the Word of God calls the flesh. And as we grow, as we mature, we learn to overcome that self-serving nature, saints. At least we're supposed to. But if we don't overcome our self-serving nature, saints, we end up sounding like a song by Nelson Brothers. I don't know how many know the Nelson Brothers, but they wrote this song. Apparently, there's this poor guy who has a self-centered girlfriend. And he's tired of her always directing her conversation to her favorite subject, which is herself. So the lyrics of the song go like this. "Enough talk about you, baby. Let's talk about me. You don't even have a clue lately what I really need. You forgot how to listen. That's what I'm missing. And I just want to scream, enough about you, baby. Let's talk about me. Let's talk about me. Me, baby, let's talk about me, yeah. Enough about you, baby, let's talk about me." Woo! Well, saints, that guy is a bore. He's just a bore. And a bore is someone who spends so much time talking about him or herself that you can't even talk about yourself. Woo! Now, that kind of guy or gal who might, in the shower, be singing of the church hymns or some of the choruses of praise, they might be in the shower sounding something like this. "It's all about me, Lord. Oh, it's all about me. Lord, I lift my name on high. Lord, I love to sing my praises. I exalt me. I exalt me. There is none like me. There is none like me. Oh, come, let us adore me. Oh, come, let us adore me. And I'll just end with one more. How great I am. Woo! Hallelujah. That leads us to our first point, and I want us to read it together. What is point number one, saints? By nature, we live for self. Let's read Philippians 2:21 together. For everyone looks out for his, her own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, saints, that's a logical place for someone who is controlled by what comes natural. The flesh just comes natural. It's your thing to do what you want to do. Amen. All right. That's natural. But until, saints, there's something else that comes in our lives and takes control, we're going to be controlled by the flesh. We're going to be controlled by the flesh. Now, look what our number one priority. Let's read that together. When we're controlled. All right. Priority is self-preservation and satisfaction. That's the number one priority. Self-preservation and satisfaction. And Paul makes a list of the works of the acts of the flesh. So listen to how me-centered this list in Galatians sound. All right. Now we're going to read this together, Galatians 5:19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. So, saints, right at the root of it all is a person who has refused. Everybody say refuse. Refuse to have God in control of his or her life and has placed self on the throne instead. Just imagine, you like this was a throne, and everywhere you went, you was carrying this chair around. You just had this chair, and if you stopped and you it was at the bus stop, you sit the throne down, and you'd sit on the throne. That's having self on the throne, and it's called selfishness. Everybody shout that. Selfishness. So, saints, I want to stop right now, and I want for each of us to just consider for a moment in your home. What is the priority in your home? Stop and give some thought to the tension level in your home. Stop and think about the kindness level in your home, or the lack of kindness in your home. Everybody think about your home and the level that it's at. And then think for a moment, would you like for it to stay at whatever level it is? Or would you like for that level to improve, that level to get better? Well, in his book, Earth and Altar, Eugene Peterson, he wrote this. If I am an atheist in my heart, making myself sovereign in place of God, and therefore arranging things according with my appetites, my needs, my fantasies, I become a pirate in society. We know what those pirates are doing. They're raiding ships. I become a pirate in society. I relentlessly look for ways in which I can get what there is for my own uses, with no regard for what anyone else gets. If I am an atheist in my heart, it is not long before I have become a cancer in the gut of society. Eugene Peterson. Well, saints, we shouldn't be shocked by non-believers, those who don't know Jesus Christ, that they're selfish, because Ephesians 2:3 tells us, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But hallelujah, there is a difference in the person who makes the change of ownership. Hallelujah. And that leads us to our next point. And what is it, saints? Number two, in Christ, live for Christ, not self. Oh, hallelujah. You and I, we both know that being in Christ means that we're different. We're different in this way. We're not supposed to live for just ourselves anymore. And just the same, we struggle with that old person, don't we? That's where that war takes place. We struggle in trying to cease to be selfish. Listen to the honesty of Henry Nouwen as he wrote in his diary. I love Jesus, but I want to hold on to my own friends, even when they do not lead me closer to Jesus. I love Jesus, but I want to hold on to my own independence, even when it brings me no real freedom. I love Jesus, but I do not want to lose the respect of my professional colleagues, even though their respect does not make me grow spiritually. I love Jesus, but I do not want to give up my writings, my travels, my speaking plans, even when they are more often to my glory than to God's. Oh, saints, really, there shouldn't be any selfishness in our homes. Not when we're in Christ. Really, there shouldn't be selfishness in the church. Really, there shouldn't be. But could it be, saints, that sometimes we let that selfishness, which comes so naturally to us, creep into our attitudes even in the church? Just for one example, we all know in our hearts that we are living in a culture that teaches our young people to experience sexuality in any way they want. They're just confusing them. They're asking even five-year-olds, do you think you're a homosexual or not? We are very confused. And that we have a great true love ministry right here to help our young people stand up for something better, which is sexual purity, right here at Glenville New Life. And that they need all the support they can get from we, their church family. Amen. And as they make their public commitments, we do it twice, sometimes three times a year. Pastor Kelly plans awesome services. And they stand in front of us and they commit their lives to a life of sexual purity. And they put those rings on. The last one we had about 2 weeks ago. And they came forward and they all received their purity rings. And even after they sat down, you could look at them. They always like, They all kept looking at their rings. They kept looking. And when they went to the mission trip this past weekend, Pastor Kelly, she didn't want their rings to be lost. So she took all their rings, put them in a bag, and they said, we feel naked, Pastor Kelly. We feel naked without our rings. Hallelujah. Amen. And when they got off that roof, she put them back on each of them. And you know, saints, we could say, oh, yeah, that true love ceremony was a couple weeks. Nah, I didn't make it. Nah. You know, once I get home and take my shoes off, that's it for me. You know I ain't putting my shoes on and coming out nowhere. But, saints, could it be that sometimes we let selfishness that comes to us so easy and so naturally to creep into our attitudes, even in the church, toward one another? You know, I know that we all can't be everywhere at one time and all the time. But hopefully, saints, we'll get the point. Being in Christ means that there is a change. We no longer just live for ourselves, but we live to make a difference in one another's lives. Now, our 40 Days of Love class, our group, we have decided on two goals that we want to help make a reality in the life of Glenville New Life. We want to seek God's guidance and God's help in our church to help us be able to help all of our young people to pass all those OGC tests, all these tests they got to take. We want to do what we can do to tutor and to support them and mentor them so that they can pass all these tests. We're just claiming something that for God. That's what we're claiming. We're claiming that in God. And the second thing, we're going to just ask God to help us at Glenville, learn to sacrifice and invest and commit ourselves to one another more deeply in one another's lives. And we're seeking God to show us how we're going to do that. But we've committed that for ourselves. And you know, it would be wonderful, saints, if every one of us in some way, we know Chris Webb's got this massive film project going on. If in some way each of us could just step beside Chris and say, we're here for you, Chris. We're going to help you. Make It Out is the name of the film, and it's made by Cleveland for Cleveland. But guess what? It's originating where? Right here at Glenville New Life Community Church. Wouldn't it be great if all of us just stepped right beside him? We've got to learn to invest in each other, to support each other, even when it's inconvenient. Saints, we were born self-serving creatures. Woo, we love to be served. Oh, yes. Thank you. From the day we were born, our world revolved around ourselves. Oh, let's go back and let's look at the second point. In Christ, live for Christ, not self. Let's read Romans 15:1 together. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Nobody should seek his or her own good, but the good of others. Hallelujah. Once again, in our New Testament passage, Philippians 2:21, it says, for everyone looks out for his or her own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. Saints, you see a pattern here. Being in Christ means I live for Christ and not for self. Now let's take this home today. Let's read number 3 together. In our homes, who will win? Will it be servanthood or will it be selfishness? Now, the way I understand it, it depends on 2 choices that we have, and I printed them here. It depends on the first choice is what? For whom will you live? Who you gonna live for? Who you gonna live for? If the answer is me, you've already determined which way, who's gonna win in your house. If you have said me, it's just over. It's just over. Let me read Romans 6:16. You don't know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now that's Romans 6:16. Saints, there is no third choice in this one. You either serve God with your life or you either serve yourself and you will be used for the devil and his purposes. Now together, let's read 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us because we are convicted that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Amen. Those are the sentiments of a Christ follower. Is that you today? Is that me today? Who are you going to live for? The second decision is what? Whose example will you follow? I know this sounds like one of those obvious answers, but I think it's still worth the effort. There are a lot of examples of Jesus Christ that we cannot copy. We cannot be born of a virgin in fulfillment of prophecy. We cannot die on a cross and rise again from the dead. But on this subject of serving, there is an example for us to follow, saints. All right, I'm going to read Philippians 2:1-5 for you. If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any encouragement from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Our New Testament text for today. Amen. Saints, in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. In Christ, real greatness comes from service, from servanthood. Because we see in John 13, after Jesus washed his disciples' feet, Jesus said to them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his or her master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So in conclusion, saints, who's going to win? In your home, who's going to win? Is your home going to be people just living together and just getting in each other's way, getting on each other's nerves, messing up each other's plans? Or is it going to be a home where people are looking out for each other, where people are looking for ways to serve and to help one another to be all that God wants us to be? Who's gonna win? Now today, you decide, I decide, we all decide who's gonna win in our home, who's gonna win in our marriage, who's going to win in the family of God. We decide, is it gonna be selfishness or is it gonna be servanthood? Well, in James 4, 1 and 2, it reads this: "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. But you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and you wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." Oh, saints, the bottom line is this: the cause of relational conflict is simple. Someone is not getting their way. As long as I put I first, it's only a matter of time before I meet somebody else who put I first. And then before you know it, we're fighting and we're quarreling and we're bickering and we're just carrying on. Oh, hallelujah. I want us to test this theory and think back right now to the last fight that you had. The last quarrel, everybody, don't sit there like you ain't been fighting a quarrel. All right. Think to the last quarrel, the last fight that you had. What was it about and why? What was it that you wanted? Well, I confess the last quarrel I was in, I knew the restaurant I wanted to go to. And it wasn't the same one he wanted to go to. All right now. Now, if we call the rest of us up here, we really looked at your argument and your quarrel. Woo, it all comes down to we was mad because we didn't get our way. Amen. There will always be a first in something. At a door, only one person can go in first. Because if two just start fighting it, maybe neither one of them will make it through. At lunch, only one person can be served first. When there is a disagreement, most times only one person is going to get their way. Either I go first and I allow you to go first. Either way, we have that. I'll go first or you go first. Now, if I say I'm going to go first, if I said that, that means you ain't going to go first. You're going to go second, third, or fourth. I'm saying no to you because I'm going first. And when I say no, I'm going first, there goes another conflict. There goes another quarrel. But if I let you go first, saints, there is potential for relationship. If I let you go first, and praise God, relationship in God's eyes is more important than being first, having relationship with one another. Now, saints, selfishness is the enemy of relationships. Oh, it's the enemy of relationships. And I wanted to share a line in here because she addresses it so well. This is an awesome book, How to Act Right When Your Spouse Acts Wrong, written by Leslie Burnick. It's so much good in this book. And she deals with the issue of selfishness all through. But she says, what is the opposite of real love? What is the opposite? What do you think the opposite of real love? hate is what I've always thought. But what is the opposite of real love? She says, it's not hate. The opposite of real love is prideful selfishness, self-centeredness, and self-protectiveness. It is reflected in our refusal to act on behalf of our spouse, because this is about spouses, but it can be any relationship. Our children, our parents, our friends, our co-workers' interests, because it will cost us too much. We are either too full of self-love and self-pity or too gripped by fear to move out of our inner sphere and into his or hers. Saints, I is not in love. Look at the word love. I is not in love. Ultimately, I destroy marriages. I destroy families. I destroy friendships. I destroy ministries. It destroys teams. It destroys bands, whatever. The big I. And it holds us back from what God really wants to do in, through, and for our lives. For example, when we choose to make I number one, we're saying no to you being first. We're saying no to love. There is no I in love. And the second point is this. I, look at the word sin, is always in the middle of sin. Sin is when we miss the mark. We miss where God wants us to be. Now, sin, how many here are in the archery? You never know, because Glenville, we got some of everybody here. Amen. But archery, sin is an archery term. So when an archer misses the bullseye or the center of the target, it's called a sin. That is an archery term. When you miss the bullseye, it's a sin. Now, for some of us, if you imagine a target here, some of us, we're barely missing the bullseye. I mean, we're so close. We're real close, but we're barely missing it. And for others of us, we could stand over on that lake shore and we could shoot and we would still miss Lake Erie. We so far off. We couldn't even hit Lake Erie. That's how far off we are hitting the mark. But saints, in both of these situations, we're sinning. Whether you're just slightly off the mark, you just missed it, or whether you can't hit Lake Erie, we're both sinning. We're not living where God wants us to be. And the reason we do it is because of big I. I is always in the middle of sin. Now I want to ask you today, how many here have ever lied? Woo-hoo! Now I know everybody ought to raise your hand because we all done told some lies. Every one of us done told a lie. Now, that's right, ain't lying. We all done lied. Amen, Mary. Yes, we have. But have you ever told a really stupid lie? One that after you said it, you were like, oh. But anyhow, you know, there's lies and there's stupid lies. But you told it and you got away with it, at least for a little while. And probably we didn't want to get grounded. We didn't want to get in trouble. We had to do what we thought was best for us. Telling the truth wasn't an option. So we lied because we thought it was the best thing for us. But you see, saints, every sin comes back to selfishness. Everybody shout out selfishness. Selfishness. When your parents ask you to do something and you don't do it, it's called selfishness. When we have a chance to serve and we don't serve, it's called selfishness. When we date that person that we know we shouldn't, it's called selfishness. When we gossip, it's called selfishness. When we have a chance to stand up for someone and we don't stand up for them, it's called selfishness. When we get too busy for God, it's called selfishness. When we get too busy for one another, it's called selfishness. We are basically saying to God, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll never forget, we used to say Easter Christmas speeches, and there was this little girl named Lisa. And so she went up there. Her mommy said, it was time for her to go say her speech. And her mommy said, go ahead, Lisa. Go up there and say your speech. Go, go. She stood up and said, I go where I want to go. and I do what I want to do. And she sat back down and didn't say her speech. I know Lisa was in trouble. Woo! But I'll never forget. She announced to the whole church. She wasn't nothing but 8 years old. I go where I want to go, and I do what I want to do. All right now. Woo! I know she got her a good whooping when she got home. Woo! Oh, wow. But her mother held on till they got home. Amen. Hallelujah. I is always in the middle of sin. And I think Jesus knew that we would lean toward I, that we would want to do our own thing. He knew Lisa was going to say that. Amen. Amen. And I believe this is one reason why Jesus came to earth. Thank you, Lord. Jesus wanted to show us what would happen if we took I out of the center of our lives. Oh, let's check out what the Word of God says together. Let's read Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. What if Jesus said, man, I ain't going down there. I ain't dying on no cross. What if Jesus said that? You know, our theme for these 40 days of love, our theme song was written by our very own Asia Jackson. And the verse goes, what if, this is Jesus talking, I turned away the lame. What if I never healed the sick? What if I never heard you when you called to me? What if I didn't show you grace? What if I didn't give you peace? What if I gave it all just for selfish gain? Oh, says Jesus did not come for Jesus. Jesus didn't come here for Jesus. Jesus came for you, and Jesus came for me, and people like you and me. Hallelujah. Jesus could have said, this life ain't about, I'm not going down there. I'm king in heaven. Why do I need to go down? But he did. He humbled himself. He put others first, saints. Jesus came to serve, and we are called to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Oh, he said, I cried for you. I prayed for you. I put my heart, my life online to show you all my love. And we're called to do the same thing. Saints, we pour ourselves because we think if we lift ourselves that we're going to exalt ourselves, you know. We're going to make it better, you know. But Jesus had a different take on this. In Matthew 23:12, Jesus said, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. And what Jesus is saying, that those who are trying to make themselves something are going to become nothing. And those who choose to become nothing by putting others first and serving others will themselves become something. So what about you today? Are you trying to be something? Are you trying to be nothing? What about your life at home? You see, love starts at home. Love must start at home. And then it goes on to work. Then it goes to school. It goes out into the neighborhood, wherever. But I want to ask us today, what would happen if just for one day at home, we all said, we all going to be nothing today. We all going to serve each other today. We going to put each other first today. We going to take the eye out of the middle of our lives, and we are going to focus on each other. Woo! What if we did that in the church just for one day? Whatever ministry you're involved in, you say, okay, we going to just look out for each other. We just going to take the eye out. And we're going to just humble ourselves and focus on one another. Woo, just for one day, saints, what do you think would happen? Well, I think a lot more of our friends and family would be here, amen, for starters. Because people would look at us differently. They would say, wow, see how they love one another. Our relationships would change, saints. Our lives would change, saints. And most importantly, we would become more like Jesus. More like Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and poured out himself, his life for others. Jesus had a God-centered heart. And learning to be more like Jesus is a day by day process. Oh, it's a day by day process. And saints, today I'm asking all of us to make a commitment. Make a commitment to pour our lives into other people, to choose servanthood over selfishness. Because of our selfishness, we're separated from God and we're separated from one another. Jesus poured out his life completely on a cross. We're celebrating his supper today. He poured out his life so that we could be filled with God and have a relationship with the Lord. Oh, that is so powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What powerful love you have for us. So